Hello, everyone. This is Dave Burdick, news editor at Foresight Health. Welcome to Foresight Health's How Healthcare Revolutionaries Think podcast, where we get inside the heads of people trying to fix the healthcare system. Our guest on today's show is Ann Jordan. Jordan is president and CEO of the Healthcare Financial Management Association, the healthcare association that represents CFOs and other financial executives and managers. I interviewed Jordan as part of our How Healthcare Revolutionaries Think series. I spoke with her about her journey from law to healthcare, with a stop at quality standards in between, and how she differentiates HFMA from other healthcare associations. Hello, Ann.
Good morning, Mr. Berta. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. Looking forward to this.
Yeah. Well, nice to meet you finally. Thanks for making time for me this morning. You're a lawyer, and I'm just curious about when your interest in law started. Your mom and dad lawyers, parents want you to be a lawyer. My parents wanted me to be a doctor, and when I told them I was going to be a journalist, my dad yelled at me. My mom actually started crying, so I remember it like it was yesterday.
There weren't tears. I had a very unique upbringing.
Okay.
And so to go back, did your parents want you to be an attorney? I'm actually a fifth generation attorney.
Okay.
Family firm started in the 1800s, about when Irish settlers were claiming stakes in the state of Iowa.
Okay.
And so a long time Irish community where my family had been a part of its initial founding. Mm-hmm. That was one side. I got to give credit the other side. My mom, hardworking dairy farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in this very unique environment of the practice of law being something that you provide for a community. And it was service oriented. And believe it or not, still, if people couldn't pay but needed help, you would still barter mm-hmm. to help them in your community. So mm-hmm. a little bit of the Atticus Finch vibe too.
Right. Yeah.
We could have a whole podcast on odd things I grew up with, but my parents were also early kind of deadheads mm-hmm. and also a little bit of academics. And so like a normal night for me, maybe growing up, I was miles and miles from a paved road in rural Iowa, listening to Copeland on the record player with my parents. I mean, as a very, very odd. And then the next morning you get up at 5:30 because you were doing farm labor for the neighbor at age 9 yeah. with a 16-inch machete. And so the law was seen as something you did for your community. And I was raised in that service-oriented environment that I'm grateful for. But that other side of understanding your community, hard work, got to call out my mom coming in there too.
Yeah.
And it was very odd. It was a very odd upbringing.
Now, does the family practice still exist?
It does.
There, is what you're saying?
It does.
Really?
And I mean, it's always been all Irish.
Right. So who's in the practice? Family members?
My father is still there. And mm-hmm. I started working first in the law firm, a couple girlfriends and I, to make money in high school, started cleaning offices. So I started scrubbing floors and cleaning offices, then got promoted up to phones when I was 16. And then coincidentally, when I was in high school, the big transition to Westlaw and electronic search came in. And most people were rejecting that revolution. And so they charged me, the youngster in mm-hmm. high school, to learn how to do in-depth legal research before it was there. And so I continued down that route and was trained by some of the best litigators imaginable in the state of Iowa, undergrad through law mm-hmm. school, and then eventually did focus on being a litigator. My first court appearance 1 week after being sworn in was actually in front of the Iowa State Supreme Court.
Really? Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And so that advocate, but for the community, has been long instilled with me as a part of what's expected of you from my family standpoint.
Got it. So a personal litigator, right? You didn't, or maybe you work for the state or a county or?
Started out personal, but in Iowa, probably as many other Midwest states, if you are a good litigator, you're a good litigator. And so there's everything from complex cases involving feuding Indian tribes to wrongful death suits to mm-hmm. extreme constitutional violations, even for very undesirable things like murder, but still there was that need to uphold the Constitution. So it was more diverse, and so that really did skew my mind in terms of what the purpose of law was.
Right, right. So you got to explain this jump to association management then for me, right?
So I started out as a litigator and was offered a position to go in-house early into the business space, was in a multinational organization, OEM, everywhere from Manila, Philippines to Manaus, Brazil. And learned early from executives how to run a business. I went through a couple different industries, and for personal reasons, you know, I made a lot of money for other people. I kind of saw how things worked. And going again back to my roots of service, made a personal declaration that the rest of my professional career would be devoted to the not-for-profit space. When I made the jump from law to business, I quickly accelerated my learnings and abilities in enterprise risk management and systems design. And so the big jump into nonprofit space was to ASQ, the American Society for Equality, although it is the global organization for quality standards and organizational industry across all facets of business. So much opportunity there, because at the end of the day, quality and standards drive commerce on that global scene. And so whereas I think healthcare, we could have a whole nother podcast on quality in healthcare, because that one really is a booger to solve. But the
lack of standardization.
And a lot of that I spent last week hearing about, but also healthcare thinks really of what back in the 90s was called little Q. You know, safety, widgets, compliance, efficiency, whereas true quality around the world is organizational excellence in terms of output and impact of the entire system. And so healthcare has an opportunity to jump from that little Q to that big Q.
Now, I've worked for a couple associations. It's not my, you know, I just don't have the personality for it. We could leave that at that. So I'm just curious, you know, associations are so membership driven. I'm just, you know, when you moved over to HFMA or even ASQ, you know, what was that like? Did you, did it meet your expectations? Did you have different expectations? And just tell me about what were you surprised at? What weren't you surprised at? Culturally, maybe.
First, I'm going to say the power of associations is severely underdeveloped, and particularly in healthcare. And When you look at the association space and what drives you there, I see associations in three buckets, by the way. One, it's trade organizations. They are uniform. They advocate for a certain position. Lobbyists, you know, it is very siloed. Then you have what I'll call the professional groups, where it's your cardiologists, your nurses. So again, uniformity and a certain silo to advance a body of knowledge. Then you have the practice organizations, and those usually have the word management or ING somehow in the verb, like accounting, project management, quality management, human resources management, financial management. That's different. Because then it's applying a practice horizontally and across an entire industry, if not multiple industries, to see how application of that practice can improve. That's my lane, where I see this potential for change, because it largely impacts systems. And it's not beholden to a certain group of organizations or to a certain professional. It's advancing the practice to deliver on its mission and vision. That's what really attracted me first to ASQ. And then because of ASQ, we really were the systems experts of the world. I mean, we even own 9001. That was part of my responsibility at the ISO level globally, was to administer those standards. So jumping into healthcare, if you're in a practice situation that plays at that horizontal, there's no bigger challenge yet opportunity for a group, for an association, HFMA, to rise to the occasion and lead amongst all these fractured components in this time of destabilization.
And this has been terrific. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your candor.
I appreciate it, David. And, you know, when Vitalik Health comes to fruition, we would love to welcome you into our ranks of those looking to solve base convene to make this a financially sustainable and more impactful system overall.
I'll tell you, I have enough grievances, I could have my own committee, subcommittee. So get
Thank
ready.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Bye-bye. If you'd like to learn more about how Ann Jordan thinks, please read our Q&A with her on foresighthealth.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Berta for Foresight Health.